the I didn't realize you liked me that way deal. Because it's one thing to receive McDonald's, but an entirely other thing to know that they woke up early to face the world and bring you McDonald's breakfast still hot in the bag.
Appreciate you.
There's a deal for every morning. Now grab two loaded sausage burritos for only $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to the Pat Oney Show right here on Mojo50. I am your host, Pat Oney. Follow me over on Twitter at the Pat Oney Show. Follow me over on Facebook, Instagram, MeWe, Locals. It's criticalthinking.locals.com/subscribe if you want to become a subscriber. Also, follow me over on Getter, all at the Pat Oney Show. So we've talked a lot about what's going on in Ukraine. With the Ukraine-Russia crisis, frankly, it's a war at this point. We might as well call it what it is. It's a war. And we've talked a lot about all of it this week. If you listened to Critical Thinking with Andrew Coppins a couple days ago, we both had discussed this idea of we don't know what the right answer is. We don't know what the right answer is in terms of U.S. foreign policy in Ukraine right now. We know that we don't want to get involved, but we also understand there may come a point where it is actually necessary, where we actually have a legitimate reason to do so. Hopefully, as it stands right now, we don't. And we don't get involved any more than maybe sending some help via weapons and maybe a few troops here and there, but not getting all in all involved. But is that the right answer? I don't know. I don't know. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on what NATO decides to do as well, especially if Putin decides to attack, especially NATO proper. If NATO gets involved and then also needs our help. I mean, are we obligated to help NATO if NATO decides to do something about what's going on in Ukraine? I don't know. I mean, we are part of NATO. Should we be part of NATO? That's a whole nother debate for a whole nother time. But what do we do? The simple answer is, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't. However, I think a lot of what people need to be looking at right now is why. Why is Vladimir Putin doing this in Ukraine? And we all can speculate why. We can all throw out the accusations of he's evil, he's trying to put in a new world order, blah, 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 blah. I mean, pick your reason. We can all speculate. But I think it's also important to listen to Putin himself and what he says about this whole thing. But the other problem, part of that problem is can you trust him? And the answer is no, you can't. You can't trust someone that is that evil, that has talked both sides out of his mouth. And I might add, he's done so to his benefit. Because here's the reality. Ukraine was at one point part of the old Soviet Union. And I personally believe that Putin is trying to reestablish the old Soviet Union empire, to reestablish what was the former Soviet Union. I mean, this guy is former KGB. He was very much part of the Soviet Union. I believe he very much believes in what the Soviet Union was and ought to be again. It is that. It is that simple. That is why he's doing what he's doing in Ukraine. Ukraine was once part of the old Soviet Union. He is trying to expand that empire once more. Now, he also believes that Ukraine has been subjected to the tyranny of Western powers, that they have been too influenced by the West and perhaps not enough by Russia or the Soviet Union. Perhaps that is the case. Even though you have pockets in Ukraine that ethnically identify more as Russian than they do anything else. So, again, I guess the question is why? Why? And more importantly, why now? Why now? It would seem that it now was the opportune time. But then I look back at 2008 when they took Georgia. I mean, President Bush was still in office, getting ready to leave office and hand it over to the Obama administration. Then again in 2014, when Obama was in office, he took Crimea. Neither of these scenarios, by the way, when Russia did these things, did they yield any real consequences, if at all. And so, what should Putin have to fear by invading Ukraine? If there were no consequences before under the end of the Bush administration, and then under a very weak Obama administration in terms of foreign policy, and then under even a weaker Biden administration, what should Putin have to fear from the rest of the United States? And the other question I think that you should ask is, can NATO by themselves truly stand up to Russia? Better yet, will they? Because they didn't before, will they now? And Ukraine has flirted with the idea of becoming part of NATO, but they aren't. So NATO really isn't under any obligation to do anything for Ukraine, but at the same time, Putin is bad, Russia is bad, a Russian empire would be bad for the rest of the world, and here we are trying to stop what we perceive as evil. The question is, should we? Part of me says, yes, we should. We should always be there to stop evil. Part of me says that, yes. But I also wonder, when we have so many issues of our own in this country, where we have truly the weakest president that I think I've ever seen in my lifetime leading this country, and having all of the issues that we are still fighting over here, from COVID to transgenderism to systemic racism. I mean, take your pick. We're fighting over things that, as my uncle once said just a few years ago, that he has never seen this country more divided. I've never seen this country more. I thought it was divided just 4 years ago. It is more divided now than where we were 4 years ago. So could we? Could we get involved in Ukraine? I suppose we could. Should we? That is the question. But Putin is going to continue to do what he's going to do. No amount of sanctions, by the way, are going to stop him from doing it. We've placed sanctions on Russia before, and what did they do? Really not much, if anything at all. Do you think Putin really cares about any sanctions that Biden has put on him in recent weeks? No, he doesn't care. Because if he cared, would he be in Ukraine right now? Would he be doing what he's doing right now if he cared about any of those sanctions? No. Because here's the thing. For Vladimir Putin, this is not about money. This is not about just taking a country and taking land for the sake of taking land. This is about legacy. This is about going down in history. I read somewhere where Joseph Stalin, who is long dead, by the way, still has something like a 70% approval rating in Russia. That's crazy. And he's long dead. So to sit here and say that this is about a land grab, this is about economics, while those things are certainly factors, don't get me wrong, while there's certainly many rich resources in Ukraine that Russia is going to benefit from, and economically it will be a boon for them. But this really isn't about that. It's about legacy. It's about going down in history. It's about being remembered. It's about purpose, belief. Putin truly believes that Ukraine belongs in Russia, the Soviet Union. He truly believes that Ukraine is not its own sovereign country, or that it shouldn't be its own sovereign country. He believes this. And by the way, for those that think, well, he's terrified of Ukraine becoming part of NATO and Ukraine sits on Russia's border. Nope. Latvia and Lithuania also were part of the Soviet Union, also sit on Russia's borders, and he hasn't done anything with them, at least as of yet. But I would contend that they're probably next. If he's doing what I think he's doing, they're next. And will he? The question then will become, will he stop there? This is feeling very like, we talked a little bit earlier this week, we asked ourselves the question of, is Vladimir Putin more like Adolf Hitler, or is he more like Napoleon? I would contend that he's more like Napoleon. That these are, or maybe you could even go to like a Otto von Bismarck, where they had all of these little wars before World War I that expanded Germany, that expanded their country. Or maybe it is Napoleon, where they fundamentally did a lot of the same things. Expand their country. Expand their empire. You see, the difference really between us and Russia right now is they have a purpose. It's not a good purpose, don't get me wrong. It is very evil. But they have a purpose. They are united in a purpose. Yes, there will always be dissenters. I mean, one of the great things I saw yesterday in my best of the week was the protesters in Russia that were protesting and being anti-war. That was great to see, but they were all thrown in jail. Russia has a purpose. Vladimir Putin has a purpose, is the bottom line. Let me ask you something right now. What's ours? Can anybody answer that? Because I can't. I can't. I honestly feel like we are so divided that we can't even clearly define what our purpose would be in getting involved in this fight. I can't define it. Is it to go over there and just to save Ukraine? I don't know that that's enough. I mean, that's a noble cause, don't get me wrong. But is it enough? I don't think it's enough. I don't think we are truly invested in Ukraine enough to say that that's the reason. I don't know that we can adequately put up that fight. But here's the thing. While there's economics, while there's legacy involved for Russia, I think a couple other things were determining factors on why now. I actually think having Biden in office right now was one of the smartest things to wait for if I'm Russia. I'm not saying this would be different under Trump. But I think if I'm Vladimir Putin, I'm at least going to tread more carefully. If there was a Trump administration right now than a Biden administration. Because I still believe we would be in at least a very similar situation under a Trump administration as we are with this one. But I think he also knows that Biden really can't do anything. He also knows that there is a very good possibility that China is going to invade Taiwan in the near future. And China and Russia are at least allies to the point to where they share America as a common enemy. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they are going to be aligned at least in those kinds of interests. And if Biden can't handle Vladimir Putin on one front, what makes anyone think that he's going to be able to handle Xi Jinping on another? I think Putin knows this. I think he's realistic enough to understand this. And he's going to use that to his advantage. Regardless of what you may think of this administration, this is the weakest administration I have ever seen, and I would dare say anyone has ever seen, since probably before, maybe ever. But I was going to say before World War II, before FDR. This is the weakest administration that we've ever seen. Jimmy Carter's administration was weak, but it wasn't, my knowledge of it is that I would rather have a Jimmy Carter administration than a Joe Biden one. And maybe Joe Biden would be stronger if he were more cognitively there. Maybe that would be the case. But as Andrew Coppins likes to say, whatever Joe Biden says on foreign policy, we should be doing the opposite, because he has been wrong on foreign policy his entire political career. So from all the issues that we have here right now, I think those are probably more important to address before we even think about getting involved in Ukraine. We have to. If we were going to get involved in any kind of foreign conflict, and this includes Taiwan, by the way, this isn't exclusive to Ukraine. We have to be united in purpose. Xi Jinping, Russia, and Vladimir Putin, they both have purpose. They have a reason to do what they're doing. Now, they wouldn't dare, because they know the West, and that includes NATO and even the United States, have a much stronger military power than either China or Russia alone. But if Russia and China were to ever unite, I wonder. And then who else unites with them? Does Iran get involved as well? Does North Korea get involved? There are lots of potentials for things to happen here. And that's why I'm wondering, are we seeing the start of World War III? Is this the beginning of World War III? And here's the other kicker. Can we stop it? Is it too late? They have a purpose in that they are trying to expand their empires. And as they expand their empires, it shatters what we now know as the world order. Now, when I say world order, I'm not talking about Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin are going to be part of this great reset, or at least the great reset as I've discussed it in the last few weeks. No, they have their own version of a great reset. This isn't about a global world order. This is about their own countries, their own legacy. I need to hammer this home. I don't think Vladimir Putin gives a crap about what Justin Trudeau or Joe Biden or those kinds of types of leaders think about when it comes to a new world order. I don't think he cares. I think he cares very much about what his interests are, what Russia's interests are. I think Xi Jinping cares about what China's interests are. I don't think he gives a crap, either of them give a crap about the rest of the world. They care about their empires. They care about their legacy. That's what they care about. That is why they are going to do what they are going to do, and there is not any amount of sanctions in this world that anyone can put on them to make them feel afraid or fear or why they shouldn't do what they are doing or what they are about to do. There is nothing that is going to stop them. The only thing that's going to stop them, there really is only one thing, and that is strong, moral, good leaders standing up to them. Can anybody tell me who that is right now? Anyone? Except for maybe the president of Ukraine. Maybe the president of Ukraine. Because I actually saw pictures of him out in full gear, out with his military, ready to fight. It kind of reminds you, and I actually got it from Jason Gouffre, and he actually put it perfectly. It's like he's fighting like a king, like kings of old, where they lead their troops out into battle. That's something that I've not seen in my lifetime. That's honor. I'm not saying there aren't honorable leaders in the world, but that is honor. You know, he may have all the other corruptible flaws in the world. He may not be necessarily a good person. I don't know. I don't know a whole ton about him. But there's at least some honor there. And it's a notion that has been lost on so many, if not all, of modern world leaders today. I can't say that about Joe Biden. I can't say that about Justin Trudeau. I don't know that I could say that about Boris Johnson. Honor. And we need leaders like that. If you're going to stand up to Russia, if you're going to stand up to China, you need good, strong leaders. Good leaders. Moral leaders. That can actually lead you through this. And I'm sorry for perhaps the MAGA forever types that are listening to this. I don't know that that's Donald Trump either. I think we would be in better shape than with Donald Trump than we would be Joe Biden. Don't get me wrong. But is that really Donald Trump? Or is there someone stronger, better, more moral than Donald Trump that we should have right now? And that has been my contention in terms of who we should be electing in office in the first place anyway. Is I want someone that's good, that's moral, that's strong, and that can truly lead and unite us. Because with the way we sit right now, we are in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. Coming up on a break, but while I'm thinking about it, if you haven't yet, you need to go to preparewithmojo50.com. Why? Look at what's going on in the world right now. Right now. And tell me if what's happening across the world, across the pond in Ukraine, tell me if you would be prepared to handle something like that, if something like that were to ever happen here in the United States. Would you be able to take care of yourself? Would you be able to take care of your families? Would you at very least be able to put food on the table? If the answer is no, you're not prepared enough. So you need to get prepared. You need to start with your food source because food is always going to be the first thing that you're going to need. Food and water are going to be the first things that you are going to need. So go to preparewithmojo50.com, find the right emergency food supply kits for you, and stock up on them. They are worth the investment. They are worth being prepared. All you need to do is go to preparewithmojo50.com. They will last up to 25 years on your shelf. That is preparewithmojo50.com. You're listening to the Pat O'Neill Show right here on Mojo 50. I got a little bit more on what's going on in Ukraine and Russia when I come back, amongst some other things. So we'll be right back right after this.
You want to wake up refreshed, like you slept on a cloud? Get yourself the very best in bedding supplies today. You deserve it. Go to MyPillow.com and don't forget our very special promo code, Mojo50, for incredible savings.
After a long, hard night, I am exhausted. I need something that will stimulate me. That's why I start each day with Ron's Sexual Chocolate. It really gets me off to work. Find the flavor that stimulates you and gets you off to work at AmericanPrideRoasters.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4812. 800-978-4812. 800-978-4812. That's 800-978-4812.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. I was busy eating this delicious meal from preparewithmojo50.com. You look hungry. Do you want some? Of course you do. Get your own. You can go to preparewithmojo50.com. That's preparewithmojo50.com. You can't have mine.
Welcome back to the Pat O'Neill Show right here on Mojo 50. I'm your host, Pat O'Neill. Follow me over on Twitter at the Pat O'Neill Show. Also follow me over on Facebook, Instagram, MeWe, and Getter. Also, don't forget the locals. It's criticalthinking.locals.com/subscribe. If you want to become a subscriber, it's just $5 a month. You can also watch Critical Thinking over on our Rumble page. It's rumble.com/criticalthinking, if I can get my words out correctly here. It's rumble.com/criticalthinking. You can become a subscriber there too and subscribe to that channel, be able to watch the show whenever that airs. It's every Monday through Friday. We actually drop it on Rumble and on Anchor. About noon Eastern time every Monday through Friday. Then it airs on Mojo 50 from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern as well. My show every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, also on Mojo 50 Radio. Speaking of which, Mojo 50 is still suspended from the live stream on iHeartRadio. Now, I'm not going to comment a ton on this because I don't have all the facts yet. And once I get all the facts, I will scream this from the rooftops because as far as I can tell, this is a little unjustified. However, I can tell you this much, that it was not my show that was involved in this, nor was it Andrew Coppins. And so it was neither of us that did or said anything that would have gotten us suspended from iHeartRadio. So it wasn't us. However, it doesn't matter who it is. what I will say is this. Whatever I say on my show, whatever I say on Critical Thinking with Andrew Coppins, those are my thoughts and my thoughts only. They are my opinions. They are my opinions only. Andrew Coppins and I will disagree from time to time, and we will do so on air. We will always give our opinion. We will always try to be as factual as we humanly possibly can be. And that includes this show as well. I will always try to be as factual and as accurate as I possibly can be. Does that mean I'm always right? No, of course not. I'm just as infallible as everyone else. And so I will say this much, that I will maintain my principles. I will maintain my values. I will never sell those out for anything. And I will always try to be factual, even if it might even go against my own opinion at times. I will always try to be accurate and factual in what I'm talking about. And I will always tell you what I know to be true. And that this show will never become anything less than that. It will never be something like a InfoWars or an Alex Jones type show. That's not what I'm about. That being said, I am not about the news either. I mean, I read a lot of news and I use a lot of news in my discussions. I use a lot of articles in my discussions, but I am not news. I am a commentator. I am opinion. I am not a journalist. And so this show is very much opinion, as most talk radio programs are. They are a opinion-based thing. That's what I can tell you right now, is that yes, I'm opinion, I am not news, but I will always do my best to maintain my principles and my values on this show. And I will not, again, become anything like an InfoWars or an Alex Jones type host. That is not what I'm here for. So that's what I can tell you what's going on with the whole iHeart situation right now, which is, I don't know much. I really don't know much. I hope to know more here in the coming days and coming weeks. And as I learn more, hopefully I will be able to divulge more and be able to tell you all what's actually going on and why that's happening to Mojo 5.0. So with that said, I want to get back to the Ukraine, discussion here that I was having. I was talking in the first half of the show, for those of you that might just now be tuning in, I was talking about how Russia and China, with their respective, well, one's invasion and the other one's potential invasion coming soon, have a purpose. I'm not saying it's a good purpose. I'm not saying it's a purpose that we should agree with or that we should ever condone. But I also understand that they actually have a purpose. And their purpose is their legacy and expanding their empire. I mean, and also going down in history. If there was a better way to sum it up, that would be about it. Whereas NATO and the U.S., what purpose do we have in Ukraine? I don't know that I can answer that. I would say maybe most of the European part of NATO might have more of a purpose and more of an interest than we do, but they haven't done anything as of yet. Will they? I don't know. We'll see that in the coming days, coming weeks, and see what actually happens. China, they have a vested purpose in Taiwan. I would argue that we have more of a purpose in Taiwan, but is it going to be enough that we are going to truly do something about it? Is it something that President Biden can truly unite all of us around? Is it something that he can genuinely lead us through? Can he lead us through Ukraine? Can he lead us through Taiwan? I don't think that he has the mental capability to lead us through a war on two fronts. I don't think that he's capable of it. So what is our purpose? I can't answer it. Because I don't know. Should we have one? Possibly. But we also, as I mentioned, have issues here. And if we were ever going to get involved in Ukraine or China, we need to fix some things here first. We must. Otherwise, we will go into these conflicts, to these wars, divided, not unified, not having a common purpose. That's what will happen if we don't. We need a strong leader, that is good, that is righteous, that is moral, that is strong. And I saw this on Twitter, and I at least agree with some of it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with all of it, but I at least agree with some of it. And Christy Noem took to Twitter, and this is actually up on my Twitter feed as well. And she said that a strong American president that put their citizens first would take 6 actions right now. 1, restart and expedite the Keystone XL pipeline immediately. 2, reopen federal lands to drilling and oil natural gas exploration, including ANWR, and revoke Biden-EO banning oil gas leases in the outer continental shelf. 3, sign an executive order to cut needless regulations slowing down the domestic energy production, refinement, and transport to the American market, as well as the export of European markets. 4, immediately work with European nations to replace their supply of Russian energy with American energy. 5, hit Putin where it actually hurts and enact heavy sanctions on the Russian energy sector, something Biden has refused to do thus far. 6, call on NATO and Western allies to step up. Cut Russia off from the Western economy, banking, financing, and other privileges that are extended in good faith actors on the international stage, and cut Russia's access to SWIFT. If Joe Biden can't do or won't do all of those things, he should resign immediately before his weak leadership and poor decision-making drag America into another needless war. Wow. I would say for the most part, she hit the nail on the head there, because Joe Biden is on his way to leading us into another needless war, and a needless war altogether, and let alone a needless war potentially on two fronts. Now, I said earlier this week on Twitter that the closing down the Keystone pipeline was looking worse and worse all the time. Think what you want about climate change. Okay? This is not just about climate change. Whether you like it or not, it's not just solely about climate change. The Keystone Pipeline allowed us to do something major, and that was to become energy independent. Now we're relying on energy from other parts of the world again. And the Biden administration has come out and said that, hey, what's going on in Ukraine might spike up some gas prices here in the near future. That just because that's something every American wants to hear right now, especially when we have an inflation problem. That's something we all really want to hear. So, reopening the Keystone Pipeline, why this is necessary is because it allows us to not rely on that part of the world where things could be under conflict, and we can be energy independent. And, by the way, becoming energy independent isn't just about lowering gas prices. It's about, if we're energy independent, we can actually, I don't know, do more with our military, do more with our capabilities, and have a stronger presence in the world if we were actually energy independent. That's what it would do for us. It actually might make people like Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin think twice about what they do in the world in terms of expanding their empire. You see, being energy independent would allow us to better stand up to either of those countries. So, and as Andrew pointed out, I believe it was yesterday, Where is Europe getting a lot of their oil right now? Iran. It only helps Iran, and Iran is another enemy of America. So again, is this not potentially the start of World War III? Could you not see the potential for Russia, China, and Iran to team up to gain more of a foothold and to expand their potential empires in that part of the world to where it makes America take a step back, to where it makes the Western world take a step back? I'm not kidding when I said that what's going on right now is shaking up the world order. And not in a good way. Getting back into some of her tweets here. I mean, almost all of these tweets that she put out have to do with energy. And that is something that's huge. That would be something that would help Ukraine. That would be something that would help NATO. That would be something that would help America, because then we could actually start selling some of our oil to Europe to be able to back them up, perhaps being energy independent, by the way, would allow us to not necessarily get involved in the war in terms of military power, but economic power, by being able to give some of our oil and our energy to those in Europe that would stand up to Russia and let them step up and take care of it. Let them handle this. Perhaps that would be the best way to go. Perhaps crippling their bank accounts in other countries would also help as well. Because then you put the financial strain and for them to be able to properly fund what they're trying to do in Ukraine or even in Taiwan. If you can make them hurt in the pocketbook, that'll make them think twice too. But none of that's going to matter without having strong leadership, without having independence, without good decision making. None of that's going to happen. And so if we were to get involved at all, this is what I do if I'm President Biden. I would at least reopen the Keystone Pipeline. I would at least start drilling in the continental shelf again. Screw your climate change narrative. Screw it. Because this is going to be something that we're going to have to handle in the future, whether we like it or not. And if we don't, we are losing our foothold in the world to be able to defend and also protect our own allies. That's what we're losing. That's what's at stake. And then we are allowing evil like Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping to spread their empires. That's what we are allowing. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do something about the environment, and that we shouldn't take care of things, that we shouldn't find more energy efficient ways to do things. I'm not suggesting that at all. But there has to be a short term and a long term plan. There can't just be, hey, let's stop doing all this stuff and then not reap the consequences of it. And this is a direct consequence, well, an indirect consequence, I should say, to shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. Because that has nothing to do with Putin invading Ukraine, but it does have everything to do with how we can stand up to Putin in the long run. It does have everything to do with how we can stand up to Xi Jinping in the long run. It does have to do with those things. Number two, the other thing that I would do if I'm Joe Biden right now is I need to find a way to unite this country, because this is going to end very, very badly if you cannot unite this country right now. And earlier this week, the Freedom Convoy here in the United States that was inspired by the Canadian truckers that went to Ottawa is on its way to Washington, D.C. It's on its way. It is. It left California, and it should be in D.C. with other truckers joining along the way, by the way. It's more than 1,000 truckers as of right now. Should be somewhere in D.C. by sometime this next week. They should be there, if all goes according to plan, be there in time by the time Joe Biden gives his State of the Union address, which if I'm Joe Biden handlers, by the way, I don't know that I'm giving a State of the Union address. That might be a very, 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 very bad idea. And the State of the Union, by the way, can't be that good. It can't be. They're going to try to make it look as good as they humanly possibly can, but it's not going to be that good. I can promise you that. But if I'm Joe Biden, and I'm going to be a world power again, and I'm going to stand up to Russia, I'm going to stand up to China, I've got to unite this country. What better way? What better way to unite this country than to have a sit down with these truckers? Because they want to be heard. They want to be heard and they want to be validated. They want change. Because these last 2 years with all the mandates and the coronavirus and all that hoopla, they want to be heard. And these people are, by the way, predominantly behind the steering wheel by themselves. And yet this administration's tried to make them get the jab. And that hasn't really panned out well for them. So if I'm Joe Biden, I need to at least listen to these people. And I need to find a solution that is going to unite everyone. Because if I don't, and we stay this divided, we'll never be able to stand up to our enemies. We will never be able to stand up to our enemies, whether they are here domestically or whether they are abroad. And what's going on in Canada right now is more of a threat to what is going on here than what's going on in Ukraine. Because the tyranny in Canada that is going on is already being tried here. They're trying to do what they're those things here. In fact, I think they're putting up like fence around the Capitol and stuff like that right now too, with the trucker convoy coming. Not a way to go. If I'm Joe Biden right now, today, I get in front of a press conference, and if I'm his handlers, I would do this too. I would get him in front of a press conference and say, here's the table. Let's all sit down, break some bread, and let's talk. Let's see, let me hear your grievances, and let's see if we can find some sort of reasonable compromise. Can we do that? That would actually send a signal to the rest of the country that, hey, this guy's at least willing to listen, and he's willing to try to lead and hear all facets of life in this country, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not. I think, very simply, it comes down to this. Americans want their liberty back, and they don't want government to ever, 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 ever touch it again. So they want their liberty back, and they want to be heard, and they want to be validated. They want an apology. That's what they want. And if he can deliver on those things, just maybe, it might make him, it might even make his party look better. It might even, at least in part, because this is an election year, shift some momentum back to their side if they were to do something like this. Now, are they going to do this? Will they? Nope. They won't. Because they care more about their narrative. They care more about their narrative. They care more about their agenda. They care more about lining their pocketbooks than they do care about leading the people of this country. See, if Joe Biden actually sat down with these truckers, then he's living up to one of his campaign promises, and that's uniting the country. That's bringing us together. that's what he would be doing. Or at least, at the very least, he would be doing the start of that. At the very least. And maybe we can start letting the wounds of the last couple years heal. That's what he would be allowing us to do, is at least start the process. But he won't do it. And his handlers won't let him do it. He should do it. Because that's what a good, strong leader does. He listens to his people. He leads his people. He hears them. He validates them. He also respects their liberty. But Joe Biden won't do that. He won't do it. And neither will the rest of the Democrats, by the way. And so, because of that, they are fundamentally kicking away their future. They are going down a road that really just signals incompetence. I mean, we've got bad foreign policy under this administration. We've got Afghanistan and being very much a Saigon-esque type deal. We've got problems at the southern border. We still have coronavirus mandates. We still have systemic racism, apparently, and we have BLM protests. We still have Antifa problems. We still have violence problems across America, that everything that this administration promised they were going to fix. Oh, and to top it all off, we have a big, big inflation problem, and we're going to have an energy problem here very soon if we don't do something about it. That's what's going to happen. And then you've got a lot of House Democrats that are retiring this year, and they are House Democrats that support Pelosi. So they're retiring and not running again, which opens the door up more for the GOP in some respects. Maybe not all of those seats will be, depending on where they're located, but that's besides the point. So The question then becomes, who do the Democrats serve, themselves or the people? I mean, they've been one of the more popular parties over the last few years, right? Or at least that's what they would have you believe. I mean, the GOP is no different by any means. They're less popular overall. But who do you serve? Do you serve the people or do you serve yourselves? And if they are going to continue to serve themselves as they've been and serving their agendas and not listening to the people across this country and trying to do something like unite them and find common ground and find things that they can compromise on, find things that at least meet everyone's principles and values, having that commonality again, they're going to kick away their future. And that's why 2022 will be a landslide for the GOP if they're not careful. Screw the coronavirus. We have a whole other crisis on our hands. Don't get me wrong, coronavirus will play a role in this. And hopefully people will not have a short-term memory. And they will remember what the Democrats have done over the last couple of years in terms of these mandates. Hopefully that will be used against them. But if they don't do something about that, and they don't do something about all these other things that are going on right now, and they don't put their agendas aside, and they don't start listening to the people that they supposedly represent, they will lose. They will lose handedly. And it will be some time before they can get it back. Now, I just said the GOP is really not any better. I don't know what their platform is anymore. I mean, no one really does. And so the GOP could hand all of this right back to them within 2 years. That's very, very possible. But what are we going to do? What are your other options? Because I guess for people like the Biden administration, his handlers, and people like Justin Trudeau, I mean, they want that new world order. Right? They want that great reset. But here's the thing. They're not going to get that great reset as long as they let Putin and Xi Jinping rise to power. They're not going to get that great reset if they allow them to expand their empires and expand their foothold in this world. Because the more they expand their foothold, the more America loses its. The more the Western world loses its foothold in this world. So, the Great Reset? There'll be a Great Reset, whether we like it or not, one way or another. The question then becomes, is it going to be someone like the New World Order for like Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden? Or is it going to be for Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping? And I don't know which one's worse. Either way, it's bad. And doing more bad is going to make things worse. So we've got to put some things aside and unite this country. We have to. Otherwise, we're in a world of hurt. And just like that, would you look at the time? This show goes way too fast, I swear. In any case, I'll be back Monday with Andrew Coppins on Critical Thinking right here on Mojo 5.0 as well. Be sure to tune in. Until then, don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. Please pray for Ukraine. And let's go, Brandon.
This is the seditious, rabble-rousing, liberty-loving, home of fun, entertaining, and compelling talk. Mojo 5.0.
The I didn't realize you liked me that way deal. Because it's one thing to receive McDonald's, but an entirely other thing to know that they woke up early to face the world and bring you McDonald's breakfast still hot in the bag.
Appreciate you.
There's a deal for every morning. Now grab two loaded sausage burritos for only $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.